And just briefly chatting before, Lara, you were a teacher at the school way back in 1994 when the station was first started at the school. You helped set it up in the first place.
Well, I didn't help set it up, but I was, I think, a couple of years in, once it was set up, I was the teacher rep for the Raglan Radio, because when I first came out of Teachers College, that was my first teaching role, was up at Raglan Area School.
Okay. And so what was your involvement? So was it a student-driven thing, or did someone have the idea, oh, hey, man, let's make a radio station? Or how did that work, do you remember?
It was students and people in the community that were interested in setting it up, and it used to run from the gym at Raglan Area School.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. So there you go. You've been involved with the station all along, even though you were saying this is the first time you've been in the studio.
Yeah, first time in here. Pretty cool space.
Yes. Yeah. Well, welcome to it. Yeah, no, it is nice. It's lovely in here. And so you're born and bred. At the moment, your current role is the community wellbeing connector.
A new role, yes. I've just been in this role for, this is my 10th week.
Yes.
I've had 30 years as a teacher in the community. So I started at Raglan Area School. And then when I started having my own family, I worked part-time at Te Mata. And then once my fourth child came along, had a bit of a break, and then ended up working part-time at Waitutuna, which steadily grew into full-time. And then the last 8 years, I was a deputy principal out there. And then at the beginning of this year, just decided it was time to let the winds of change blow in and have a little bit of a break and just see what kind of opportunities rolled in. And then I got asked to apply for the community wellbeing connector role, and so taken off in that direction. It's really exciting and varied fun role.
Excellent. We're going to go into detail about it a bit later, but you grew up on farms around Raglan Town in Whangarei. Tell us all about that, because we've had a few chats and you're very familiar with all this side of Kareoi, up around there, up to Hutawai, up Wainui and all that. So, what was it like growing up on a farm, when was that? Maybe a few years ago, a few decades ago, where it was.
Well, actually, I was born in 1969 and I was born at the Raglan Hospital. It was the last year that babies were born in Whangarei. So,
is that the rest home at the moment?
The rest home up on Manukau Road.
Yes.
And my brother was born 2 years after me, and he was actually born in Hamilton Hospital.
Right.
So, that was the last year. But we grew up on the family farm out at Ruapuki.
Yes.
But my father's family had a family farm in Tiuku, and my mother's family had a family farm, which was all of Upper Wainui Road. And my great-grandparents had a farm sort of up Tutuwai Road that joined onto the Wainui Road farm. So you could walk across the paddocks from Te Hutuwai to Wainui across the family farms. But, my mother and auntie went to school from Wainui Road. But when my mother was nine, her father drove her and her sister and her little sister to school one day in the little truck. It was pouring with rain. They'd missed the school bus, and the truck went into a skid in a big puddle just before the one-lane bridge and actually went into the harbour.
Right.
And her father and her three-year-old daughter both drowned.
Far out.
It was the second accident on the bridge, actually, so it wasn't long after that they decided that they needed to make it a concrete bridge.
Okay.
And it got replaced. Yeah. So my grandmother ran the farm on Upper Wainui Road until the year I was born, which was 1969.
Yeah.
And then she sold the farm, which wasn't enough money to buy a house to move down into Raglan West, which was completely quite a lot of gorse at that stage, wasn't very populated.
Yeah.
She had to borrow $1,000 from the bank to buy her house.
Which would have been a bit of a sum in those days, no doubt.
It was quite a sum in that time.
Mm.
But where we grew up, we had a family farm out at Ruapuki, right at the base of Mount Kareoi. And my father's two brothers had two other adjoining farms that went down to Te Mata. So the three brothers farm side by side. I'm the third child of four children. And, we just grew up outside, a very outside lifestyle. I was mad about horses. So once I got a horse at age 10, dawn to dusk out of school. I was just riding around the hills pretty much, and we had no idea of the beauty of the environment that we grew up in. But of course, it was a very winding, skinny metal road out to a Ruapuki in those days, and it was like right out in the boondocks. Mm. We never thought that Raglan would become as popular and populated as it is now.
Yeah.
Big changes.
Yeah, all right. Mm. So for your shopping, was there a shopping, like a supermarket in Raglan, or where did you come to? Or did you go to like...
Yes, there was Petrol's, but we used to get fresh bread delivered in a brown paper bag.
Nice.
The rural delivery was a good means of delivering some fresh produce. We had a big garden.
Yeah.
We had our own meat from on the farm. We had one car. We didn't go to town that often. We came in for Saturday sport on a Saturday. We used to get 20 cents to buy an ice block and get one bubble gum, which we thought was a major treat. And it was a good lifestyle and a really cool community.
There's enough kids to, what I suppose, rugby and netball. Were there any other sports you remember? Or
just rugby and netball back in the day. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's kind of all we. The only options we had, I remember, even growing up. Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't
very
diverse, and also we only had one car, and we had carless days at the time. I think we had Tuesdays and Thursdays where we didn't drive our cars, and
it was a government thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
And your parents couldn't afford to run you around to lots of activities. We were free-range children. Yeah. We grew up entertaining ourselves in nature.
Excellent. Mm. Yeah. Swimming a lot, fishing, eeling, all these sorts of things, no doubt.
Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Water babies, the Raglan Harbour, boats on the harbour, camping down at Aotea, had a batch down there.
Nice.
Floundering, fishing. Getting power. My dad was really into diving and all sorts of sports.
Yeah.
We had motorbike trails on the farm. There was quite a big community of trail rides all around the district.
Yes.
So we used to go and do those in the weekend.
Horse riding events as well around?
Actually, there was, back in that time, not many people had horse floats, so we used to have a Te Mata Pony Club. So I used to ride from Ruapuki through my uncle's farm. So I'd leave at 7 in the morning, get to Pony Club, take me 3 hours, get to Pony Club at 10 o'clock, have my lunch, sleep under a tree, wait for everybody else to arrive at 11 o'clock, ride all day, and then afterwards ride all the way back home, get in at about 6 o'clock.
It's a big day on horse.
Yeah. A very fulfilling day.
All right.
But if we wanted to go to any events, we used to load our horses onto a stock truck. Didn't have floats. One of our friend's fathers had a stock truck, so we'd put the horses on the stock truck and go to an event with them all in there.
Right.
But it wasn't very often.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
But we used to have the big Easter sports out at Te Mata.
I've heard lots of stories about this. It sounds really exciting, and I just wonder if we can make it happen again.
Yeah, it was a big key event in the community. It had motorbikes. It had kids' games, you know, like sack races. It had wood chopping. It had horse sports. Just lots of fun activities.
Yeah,
and the whole community used to rock up to it.
I suppose it'd be a big barbecue or hangi or something for everybody, and
stalls, lots of food being sold. Yep, you could,
the old egg and spoon races and potato sack races or whatever.
Yes,
and, all that.
All that sort of stuff.
Cool. I suppose it's hard for you to tell, but how many people would you imagine would have gone to these things back then?
Oh God, I couldn't even tell you. I was a kid, so to me it seemed like there was a lot of people, wouldn't have any idea. Just seemed really busy, and just pretty much everybody in the community would go.
Yeah, this was like in the '80s, eh? Would that be right?
Oh God, no, it'd be well before. I think it would be in the '70s.
Okay, yeah.
Mm.
And do you remember why or when it petered out for whatever reason?
No, I don't know why.
Okay. What if there's an appetite for it again?
Could be. There you go.
There we go. Something to work on for us, Laura?
Yes, that's right, Craig.
Yes. Okay, so, okay, well, you grew up out here and then you decided I want to be a teacher one day, did you? Or did you do something else first? Or
Actually, I went to high school at Hamilton Girls High School in Hamilton, went to boarding school, and didn't come home that frequently, maybe every second or third weekend. And then straight from high school, growing up in a small community like Raglan, I was just ready for the big city. So I just went straight to Auckland.
Right.
Got a job working in an architect's office.
Right.
And I was their receptionist there. I printed all the plans and I did model building. And so from that, I was quite interested in design. I did an interior design course and then I started doing an architecture intermediate at Auckland University.
Right.
Because while it was interesting being in the architect's office, it was also a little bit boring at times, so I'd eat two lunches in one day and I just decided I needed something a bit more challenging and to occupy my time. So I went to university. You have to do a Bachelor of Arts intermediate. And then I started
In Auckland?
In Auckland. And I got introduced to sociology and anthropology, learning about New Zealand history, inequalities in New Zealand. I was studying under Dr. Ranganui Walker. And I just got really absorbed in all of that. So I headed down that track. The thing about architecture that didn't really sit with me and made me feel a bit uncomfortable is that you're just dealing with a very privileged section of society. And that made me a bit uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah. So I was quite interested right from the beginning, really, about working right across the community and doing, you know, making a difference for community. So, I did my BA, and at the end of it, I thought, what could I do to work in this area to make a difference? So then I decided on teaching. So I applied to Wellington Teachers College, Waikato and Auckland, and got into all three, and then decided, well, it might be quite fun to come back and live in Raglan and study at Waikato and flatten Raglan. You know, really nice music scene in Raglan at that time. I had a summer job working at the old Vinnie's Cafe, which was kind of the first really exciting cafe that ever arrived in Raglan. They used to sell burritos, which at the time was quite, you know, quite hip. Exciting food. So, worked there in my weekends and went to Teachers College. And then my last teaching placement was at Raglan Area School. And from there, I got offered my first teaching job.
Okay. Was it much, I suppose, and you're in rural, basically, schools for what your career, pretty much, eh?
I did go overseas for a year and a half and based myself when I needed to top up the funds in London. So I did supply teaching all over London.
Okay.
And that was very varied.
All right, yeah. Would you think, you know, you would have talked to a lot of other teachers and things like that, but it was much resourcing-wise, I guess, I'm trying to get at here, between like rural and like urban schools, say, is there much of a divide there between, you know, the outcomes the students might have or the quality of the education or whatever they might have between like rural and urban schools, would you say, or not really?
Well, I think the funding in bigger schools is a lot stronger than in the small rural schools. Small rural schools, they think that don't need as much funding, but you've got less people doing the same mahi, and always a problem trying to have enough money to run the school. So, but I think you get that really nice holistic approach to teaching in the small rural schools and really strong relationships. Lots of caring, lots of community involvement.
And I guess, you know, having such deep roots in the communities as well, you would have known, I remember your grandma, your granddaddy, or would know your parents or whatever, I suppose. You know, there's been a lot of that.
I think I was one time we had a new enrollment come into the school and I looked at the mother and I said, gee, you seem really familiar, and she told me that I'd taught her at Raglan Area School. So I was getting to rolling around to the children of students that I'd taught over the years.
That's cool. Yeah.
But yeah, always lots of nice connections.
And I suppose, yeah, I like to talk about gardening on the show a bit, and gardening programs. I just had Kate Doomer on a few weeks ago. She was talking about a gardening to plate or a gardening to table scheme she's doing through some schools. But and you were also saying that there's already stuff like that existing in some schools already anyways.
Oh, there's every school that I've been involved in, there's been a gardening program.
Yeah.
So I know that Te Mata School's got a gardening program out at Waitatuna. We've had a gardening program and got a vision of creating a community food bowl. About 10 years ago, lots of fruit trees were planted right around the school grounds. And in the last few years, they've been fruiting prolifically and been feeding the whole community, and people go down and collect all the fruit and share it amongst themselves, and then growing school gardens to just help feed their communities, and the children learning about all, you know, just how to go about doing the gardening, and resilience, food resilience, being able to grow their own food.
Hey, Harry. Yeah, that's interesting, that, isn't it? You know, and so you taught, I should say, for
nearly 30 years.
Saw a second generation kind of rolling in, and then next thing you know, that was it. You decided, actually, you know, raised the children, and then suddenly someone, I can imagine who it was, gave you a ring and said, "Hey, there's this new role coming up, Larry. You're interested in it?"
Yes, that's right. Just took a bit of a break, had a tour of the South Island in our caravan.
Cool.
And as we were going around the South Island, got a little message from somebody saying, "Oh, there's a really interesting new role coming up attached to Raglan Naturally. Really love you to have a look at it." So the rest was history.
Okay. 10 weeks. You've crammed a lot into 10 weeks, and that's just the stuff I know about. There'd be a lot more than that, no doubt. Yeah, so I guess explain the role out for the listeners. I mean, what's the role and kind of what do you, I don't know, run us through like a day. Like today, for example, what are you doing today, Lara?
So, well, shall I give you a bit of a background of what the role is first?
Yes.
So it's a Raglan Community Wellbeing Connector. Yes. So it's an offshoot that's grown out of COVID. So there was observed to be a need to have a person that can connect up the health services operating within our community with the social services, and having a communicator and a collaborator between all of those services. So for the first part, or definitely for the first month to 6 weeks of the job, I have been connecting up with everybody that is delivering a social or a health service within the community, and just finding out what they do and developing relationships. And then we've been pooling people together and working on, so when we get people in the community that we have to support, we support each other and collaborate to try and find solutions to help them to thrive, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, access social services, health services, working with the food bank, the community house, the wellness hub out at the Marae, the medical centre, and then getting referrals from people to see if I can help. And this week you might have seen on the Raglan notice board, I was working to help the Indian family that had nurses up at the rest home who lost their house in the Wainui fire just a few weeks ago. They got referred to me, so I'm helping them to set up a new house. Yeah.
And it's a lovely story. I think you were telling me about it. What was it? They put something on the notice board or something, because they had virtually nothing, rocks, everything got burned and whatever. And then, was it in the morning, they said, "Oh, you know, we started the day with nothing, but we ended the day feeling like we're rich," or something like that.
Yes.
Was that you telling me that quote?
Yes.
I thought, man, that's cool, you know.
They are blown away by the community spirit. Mm. And that was actually just the day of the fire, because people gave them clothes. They were found a house to stay in. Their boss up at the rest home has been absolutely amazing at navigating lots of things for them, and very generous. It's supporting them. And then yesterday they get they just moved into their new house but didn't have much in it. So I went around and we compiled a list, put it on the notice board, and within 5 to 7 hours, everything on the list was ticked off. So now we're just collecting and putting it in their house and helping them out. And they're very, very grateful.
How cool. Mm. Good on you, Raglan community. Yeah, no. We're very blessed to live in a community like this, really, aren't we, Lara? Yeah, yeah. It must be very rewarding for you, too, joining all the pieces of the puzzle together. And how much depth of services are there for people that you actually kind of weren't aware of before you started this role, would you say, that you are now?
There's a lot more than what I was ever aware of.
Yeah.
That's something that we want to work on being made public knowledge. We want to do work on people becoming aware of what services are available.
Mm.
And so we're going to be doing some promotions in 2023 to try and just grow the understanding within the community of the general public of what is available.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And no doubt that'll lead to a few events or something where we can come along and just chat to everybody and get some heads together or whatever, I suppose, no doubt.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, Prince Harry is here or hereabouts. He's coming on soon, so we better kind of wrap it up. I mean, anything else you want to add, Lara? I mean,
thank you for having me on. Really exciting to come in here and see this space. Really cool little community hub in here.
Yes. No, thank you very much for coming in. And if people want to get a hold of you, Lara, I mean, what's the best way to do that one?
They can send me an email. It's lara.sweetman@raglannaturally.co.nz.
Mm-hmm.
Or my phone number, I don't know it off by heart yet.
Well, you don't. up to you whether you want to give it out on the radio or not, your number.
Probably just my email.
Yeah, email's the easiest way, yep.
Yep.
All right, cool. All right. Oh, we might as well leave it there then, I suppose. But before I let you go, you've got another request here to Fly My Pretty's a song, Singing in My Soul. Now, why this one, Lara?
Anna Connington's a homegrown Raglan girl.
Yes.
And
she was a
student at Raglan Area School when I first went there, and then she went to Hamilton Girls High School.
Ah.
And also I was involved in a program where she went into schools and she worked with selected students that had an interest in music.
Mm.
And she mentored them for a day and took them through the journey of writing their own song and creating their own music. And cool. I just thought I admire her.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right. Okay, so here's Anna Coddington singing with Fly My Pretties on this one. And thanks again for coming in, Lara. I really appreciate it.
Cool.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing what we come up with and working with you maybe on some things.
Yes. Yeah. Got some things, and we've got some irons in the fire already, haven't we?
Things cooking, yes. All right.